Live streaming is on.
Hello, everyone. I guess I'm live streaming. I'm just still checking this out since I'm trying to do a couple things with this live. I'm sorry this is late. I was supposed to do this live earlier this morning, but it simply hasn't been working out. I've been working with a number of issues over here. So I'm doing a NewsWatch live today. I'm just going to check to see that this is public and that I have made this public. So while I'm doing that, I can tell you briefly that the focus of my live today is going to be censorship and a lot of information about what's going on with the entire COVID and vaccine scenario. Despite all of the censorship of mainstream media, what's really happening is a lot of people in alt media have sort of really clicked into action. A lot of doctors are working overtime to put a lot of information out, and that's absolutely fantastic. So we have a lot of information currently coming out on a daily basis, and those of you who don't have access to this information may want to switch from YouTube to BitChute, or to Brightian, or to Brand New Tube, or check all of those three, you know, sign up, get a login, user ID, so that, and start exploring some of these channels and start signing up for notifications, and you will get a stream of news from different media channels, alt media channels, who are putting out the real truth and analysis regarding what is going on with the vaccine adverse reactions that are being reported across the world, particularly in the West, in the yellow card scheme, the image, the Public Health England database, and or the MHRA. It's called the yellow card scheme. It basically records their adverse reactions, I guess. And Eudravigilance, which is the European database, and also the US database, which is the CDC database, the VAERS data. And one of the best sites to check out that data is openvaERS.com, which is a website that's been set up just to help people see that information a bit more clearly. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. The information from the VAERS database keeps piling up. So I'm having a little trouble over here with things not displaying properly on my screen. And therefore, I'm hoping this is now completely live. I just tried to click it completely live. So this is NewsWatch live. This is my first test run NewsWatch for June 10th. My focus today is censorship and the information that's coming out about the COVID vaccine, despite the censorship from various alt media channels and various doctors who've taken to becoming alt media themselves, which is fabulous. So we are getting a lot of information from doctors. And, you know, we should be really grateful for that, because what's happened now is there's been a complete overturning of what healthcare is in the world. And there's been a total healthcare takeover, or an attempt to take over, where we are witnessing the pharmaceutical industry fronted by the CDC and the WHO trying to tell the whole of the world that there's only one form of healthcare, and that's through vaccines and drugs. And as most of us know, those of us who use natural medicine, naturopathy, homeopathy, chiropractic, and all of the other many different forms of natural, body-friendly medicine and healthcare. Over the years, some of us subscribe to Chinese medicine, some of us use Native American medicine, some of us use old European medicine, some of us use Ayurvedic medicine, and some of us use a combination of all of these, or South American medicine, or Mayan medicine, or whatever it might be, whichever culture you might hail from or know the most about. Not all of us are fans of allopathy or of vaccines or of drugs. Many of us find the drugs very, very strong, very potent, have terrible side effects and side reactions to them. And we have shifted away from that allopathic paradigm a very long time ago. So what's happening now is our interest in naturopathy, in natural healing, is not being respected by this totalitarian takeover of healthcare and medicine over the across the world, where we are seeing, they still haven't made it mandatory, but they act as if it's perfectly possible to make it mandatory. And they have pushed this mandating over to businesses who are requiring employees to be vaccinated. They're pushing it to schools who are requiring teachers to be vaccinated. They're pushing it to hospitals, which require nurses and doctors to be vaccinated. So this mandatory aspect of the vaccine does indeed propel the presumption that there is only one form of healthcare in the world, and that's through vaccines. And of course, this whole notion, this whole fixation, obsession with the virus that nobody, that's unprecedented, that nobody in the world has ever focused on or fixated on to such an extent and for such a long time before, is also part of this package of moving everybody to and understand, to literally trying to standardize and normalize healthcare and hand it over to the hands of these people who are literally run by the profit makers and the pharmaceutical industry and the eugenicists behind them, who have been using vaccines over time as a means, as a bioweapon, as a means to destroy health and not build up health. Now, that obviously is a statement that requires backing, and a lot of people who've been delving into the history of the drug industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the Rockefellers, etc., have been speaking out openly about this. And I hope to be covering that soon as well, shortly, in a series of techno talks on the subject of vaccines and on the subject of the growth of the medical industry and the whole phenomenon of allopathic medicine, medical schools, medical colleges, supported and infrastructured and understructured by the pharmaceutical industry. So that's a whole subject in itself, as we know. There's something else that's very concerning about what's going on, and that these are gene-based vaccines. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of doctors have come out and they've started talking about what these gene-based vaccines are doing. And it seems like as time goes by, we are learning more and more as to what these gene-based vaccines are doing. So I want to share a screen over here and actually talk briefly about this. Actually, before I do that, let me also say a couple words about censorship. Because the words of doctors who are speaking out against the vaccine are being censored, and the words and the work of alt media such as myself, who help bring these doctors on and, you know, host conversations and panels with them, our work is being censored. I've been taken off YouTube. I recently was suspended off Twitter a couple of weeks ago with not a word from Twitter, by the way. I put in several appeals, and I occasionally received indication that my case was being reviewed. But I also received a lot of covert communications that I was permanently suspended. And right after I wrote an article publishing the fact that I was suspended, Naomi Wolf was suspended, which was rather interesting in terms of timing. And I want to, at this point in time, show one of the threads on Twitter that I did that I think was responsible for kicking me off Twitter. And it was critiquing a New York Times article, which was, I'll talk more about it in just a minute, but it was about encouraging children to get the jab. Now, this is super concerning to me, and this is about getting kids under 12. You know, the FDA has been recently meeting about pushing through an EUA, an emergency use authorization, to make the vaccine available to 12 and under kids, while we've got 16 and under kids already having deaths and disability, various cases of teens having heart inflammation issues and fatigue issues. I saw a video of one boy who was 12, actually, who was in throes of convulsions. So a child from the clinical trials, obviously, because they've been using the children in clinical trials now. That's been authorized. And this EUA is supposed to authorize the use of the vaccine for everybody 12 and under. So this is horrific, actually. This is an untested experimental vaccine. It's causing hundreds of thousands of adverse reactions. It's causing thousands of deaths. There have been over 5,000 reported in the CDC. There have been over 1,200 reported in the UK and many more in other databases. So it's unprecedented that the vaccine has not been pulled. Usually in past cases, when vaccines are rolled out and the deaths start rolling in, which apparently is a byproduct of vaccines, it always the vaccine is pulled or the drug is pulled. If there is a drug that's causing deaths, the drug is pulled after a certain amount of time. That has not happened yet, and it is apparently not going to happen. And the reason for this is the Great Reset, the biodigital convergence, the fact that they want desperately to get nanobiosensors into people's bodies. And they want, as Moderna explains on its website, they want to set up an operating system inside your body with nanoparticles and with mRNA going in and becoming a vehicle for gene modification. And that is not something that can last, and therefore they're going to require booster shots. So everybody who is lending their arms to this jab and lending their bodies to this vaccine that is filled with very dangerous, toxic, lethal substances, as analyzed by several natural medicine practitioners, several doctors, and I'm going to show some of that in just a minute. This people who are lending themselves to this, to the influx of this poison inside their body, are also becoming tracked and being entered into a database and will constantly be pressurized and coerced to take booster shots. So however, the good news in all of this, and again, this comes to us from the natural medicine and the natural health world, the good news is you can flush out anything from your body. You can always detox. And I know that there are many doctors who say you can detox this stuff. It goes into your cells and it really destroys your cells. And we should listen to those doctors, no doubt. But I can also tell you from, you know, just somebody who's been using natural medicine for a very long time. And also listening and reading the work of many other natural medicine practitioners, there are many wonderful natural healing substances in nature that can help boost your immune system, that can flush out toxins, that can flush out parasites. And there's no reason not to believe that they cannot flush out nanobots as well and nanotech. So perhaps it's a speculation on my part, perhaps it's a belief based on what I've experienced, but my own inclination in terms of belief is to be inclined to believe that yes, you can flush out anything, particularly if you get it early, you know, before this stuff gets into your cells and starts destroying them, as many of these doctors are telling us is likely to happen. So let me share screen at this point and show this article. Millions of Brits are unwittingly tracked by phone after COVID jab to see if movement has changed. So this article was published on the 23rd of May, 2021. It's in The Sun. And it shows, you know, people lining up over here for the vaccine. And what's really happening is they're now in a database, and this is being reported. Millions of Brits have been unwittingly tracked by their mobile phones after getting the COVID jab. It's reported health chiefs wanted the data to see if vaccinated people are moving about more after they have their inoculations. Well, that's the official story. Government scientists admitted in an official report that 1 in 10 jabbed Brits were tracked by their phones in February without their knowledge, the Telegraph reports. Figures handed to researchers at Oxford University who carried out Studies for the Scientific Pandemic Influenza Group on Behaviors, SPIB, the committee advises SAGE. So what's really happened is this is all part of the whole panorama of biobehavioral research that has been set up. And it's being set up under the guise of pandemic care and under healthcare. But in actuality, it is also connected, and they use these terms, it's connected with biosurveillance and global biosecurity. So this is essentially all about building up a panopticon of absolute full spectrum surveillance, drilling down to the level of the cell in the human body. So academics at Oxford used cell phone mobility data for 10% of the British population to track what a number of jabbed people were doing. They were tracked by their location every day, as scientists monitored what they were up to and where they were going. And they discovered vaccinated people likely to move around more afterwards, although only by 218 meters. Campaigners battling state surveillance say Brits will be disturbed to discover they were unwittingly tracked and subjected to behavioral analysis via their phones. Silky Kahlo, a spokesman for Big Brother Watch, told the publication, "No one expects that by going to get a vaccine, they will be tracked and monitored by their own government. This is deeply chilling and could be extremely damaging to public trust in medical confidentiality." So you see the numbers of people who've gotten the jab, the first and the second jab, and information is reportedly being gathered on millions of people who've had the jab. So we are talking about millions of people who are now being databased in this fashion and being tracked in every which way possible. So each of these people who believe, now this is all part of, this is part of the censorship agenda over here, because mainstream media has suppressed the truth about the vaccine and the repercussions and ramifications of getting gene-based substances into your body. You have all these good, thinking people, you know, highly principled people, people who think that they are taking the vaccine to protect other people. You've got all these people standing in line, lending their bodies to this poison and this gene-based substance, and they have now lent themselves to totalitarianism. They have now lent themselves to becoming part of the large mechanism of biosurveillance. They've, you know, given their bodies away, they've given their lives away to being tracked forever. Very voluntarily, they've done this voluntarily. So in other words, they don't know that they have voluntarily permitted themselves to become tracked and trackable, and permitted the rollout of biosurveillance to increase by leaps and bounds, but that is what they've done. Between looming COVID passports and vaccine phone surveillance, this government is turning Britain into a Big Brother state under the cover of COVID. This should be a wake-up call to us all. So I'm going to stop reading over there, but I highly recommend people, you know, check out this article because it really lays out what is happening in Britain. Now, there is a medical doctor who is speaking out about the nanoparticles, and she hypothesizes that it's these magnetic nanoparticles, which she has personally witnessed showing up in people's bodies. You know, you've heard all the stories of metal objects sticking to people who have taken the jab. And mainstream media has come forward and has tried to debunk this, saying it's not true. And she has stated that BBC and Reuters in the UK have tried to debunk this and said that it's not true that these metal objects are sticking to people's bodies. But she has witnessed this and she speaks openly about it. Now, there's a lot of information that's come out currently, and I've posted some of it. There was Dr. Jane Ruby on the Stu Peters show recently spoke out about the magnetic nanoparticles being put into mRNA vaccines, being put into, in order to get, it's actually being put into every kind of gene therapy substance in order to get the molecules to get the little particles of mRNA to break the cell barrier, the cell a cellular barrier, and enter the cell. So it's not just nanolipids, it's also these magnetic nanoparticles that are entering the cell. And so there's a lot of information coming out now about these magnetic nanoparticles, and that's what this doctor is talking about. So let me just line up and hope that everyone can hear this.
I'm sharing the following hypothesis urgently of how the COVID-19 experimental injections may be harming and killing, in the hope that it may be able to help in some way to help stop this attempted mass genocide. I do not believe this is an accident, and I will explain why. I am a UK medical doctor. My hypothesis is that the experimental mRNA COVID-19 injections contain a magnetized nanoparticle attached to the mRNA, which crosses the blood-brain barrier and is then attracted to the brain, particularly midline structures. I further hypothesize that two things aid this passage of the magnetized mRNA to the brain: local temperature effects from EMF radiation and from an artificial network, such as from hydrogel. I will now explain why I'm proposing this hypothesis. Since April-May 2021, thousands of reports around the world have emerged of people who have been injected with the Pfizer-BioNTech or Moderna COVID-19 experimental injections, who are now finding that a specific area where they were injected in their arm has become magnetic. There are a number of emerging patterns which need to be urgently investigated. They are all emerging patterns, and all, some, or none of them may be of significance. It appears that people who have had two injections have a higher tendency towards stronger magnetism than those who have had one. The effect seems to be extremely localized and strongest at some point in the first few weeks to a month, but this may not be the case. The effect is magnetic rather than metallic, as the neodymium magnets can be seen to flip over if the wrong pole is against the skin, and stick when the correct pole is against the skin. Some patients can feel that pull within their body when the magnet is sticking. Some individuals, more common in those who have had two injections, are magnetic enough that metal objects will stick to their arms and stay there. I have seen this personally, and my understanding is that there are cases of objects as large as cutlery sticking to some patients. Body types seem to vary in how easy it is to pick up this magnetism from the skin. It appears stronger so far in perhaps more muscular or slim people, and those where their arms have a bit more fat or adipose tissue, it's weaker. But again, these are all small numbers. A possible correlation also came up to do with previous flu vaccinations, particularly in the same year. It is relevant at this point to note that there has been widespread discrediting of this magnetism from mainstream news sources, from the BBC to Reuters, the people affected by this phenomenon being fact-checked and called fakes. Indeed, just me speaking to you now will be enough to make me get called one of those too. It is also of note that the listed ingredients do not include any metals or magnetic particles. However, this magnetic nanotechnology does exist, and extensive studies in animals and cells in vitro have taken place over the last 5 or even 15 years. Also, information at the time of writing, which is in the public domain, shows that the Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna both used an S2 spike protein during their manufacture from a company called AgroBioSystems, and they also show a diagram of the mRNA with a magnetized nanoparticle on one end that was used in the development of the Pfizer vaccine. So it appears from this information that by some means, some magnetic property may have been transferred into the body during the process of the mRNA injections. Possible cancer therapy using magnetic nanoparticles highlighted a possible issue in the past with free radicals. I hypothesize this magnetized mRNA is crossing the blood-brain barrier and causing harm there for a number of reasons. Firstly, reviewing the passive databases from the Yellow Card System, Eurovigilant, and VAERS with respect to COVID-19 experimental vaccines, a number of side effects are extremely common. One example is Bell's palsy. This is where there is paralysis of the facial nerve, and that causes weakness and drooping on one side of the face. At the time of reading this, in the UK alone on the Yellow Card System, there are 597 cases of Bell's palsy and also 387 cases where it was labelled facial paralysis. These are just the ones reported. Most passive systems only report 1 to 10% of the actual number of side effects. It is of note that many other side effects have been reported after the vaccines include cranial nerves that emerge from the deep midline structures of the brain, in particular the brain stem. So from our main cerebral cortex brain here and our spinal cord coming up, the bit that it meets in the middle is called the brain stem. And from here, all 12 of the cranial nerves emerge. The first cranial nerve, the olfactory, damage to this affects sense of smell. Cranial nerve 2, optic, damage to this affects vision.
So I'm going to pause it over there and stop sharing screen for a minute and come back over here. But as you can tell, basically she's saying that the magnetic nanoparticles are going to go into the brain, go into the brain stem, and affect everything that the brain does, including, you know, smell, sight, etc., etc. So that video is on BitChute, and I'll post the links below once I get off the live. So feel free to check it out. And I think that's very, very important testimonial that she is giving regarding what is happening over here. So I want to show a couple things from my website. I just want to show a couple places where people can find resources from my website. And this is it over here. This is my website. And this, The Everyday Concerned Citizen, and this article, In a Sea of Lies, Vaccine Truth, COVID Truth, Resources to Inform Yourself. I try to keep updated and I try to post as much as I can. It's not comprehensive by any means, but you know, it has a lot of information and it has links to a lot of other sources, other websites, other indie media who are posting a lot of information. So one of the new pieces of information is here from the Indian Bar Association, which sues the WHO chief scientist Soumya Swaminathan for lying about ivermectin's effectiveness. And this is from the COVID blog. So this is actually cheering news. And they have served legal notice on her for lying about ivermectin's effectiveness against COVID. Here you see there are 13,867 dead posted on the Udra Vigilance site through June 5. This is a very interesting article which has the chemical composition of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. This is the COVID blog opening over here. The India Bar Association serves legal notice on Soumya Swaminathan, chief WHO scientist. She made tweets a long time ago, early May 10, apparently, stating that ivermectin was, the WHO recommends against the use of ivermectin, except within clinical trials. And the Indian Bar Association has accused her of spreading disinformation and misguiding the people of India in order to fulfill her agenda. So a press release says she ignored studies and reports and has deliberately suppressed the data regarding effectiveness of the drug ivermectin with an intent to dissuade the people of India from using ivermectin. And this, of course, is, you know, behind what is going on. Both those two major drugs, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, have been suppressed when they have been found to be very effective, as the America frontline doctors tell us and as various other doctors tell us. So it's really cheering to see the Indian Bar Association compiling mountains of evidence, not only reinforcing the effectiveness of ivermectin as a COVID-19 treatment, but also of Dr. Swaminathan's persistent disinformation campaigns. Now, this is so important to underline. What's really happened here is the fact-checking from Reuters, from Snopes, from the BBC, from Facebook, from from the Poynter Institute, from all of the many different, NewsGuard, all of the many different new institutes that have suddenly cropped up purporting to fact check, these institutions are the ones that are putting out disinformation and absolute deceitful information. It is not the truth. It is not fact. It is not information. It is disinformation. And we see this coming out of the CDC, we see it coming out of the WHO, and it's fabulous to see the WHO, the chief scientist at the WHO, who just happens to be an Indian. And, you know, I was reading a little bit about this. She apparently is one of those connected people who got a job at the WHO thanks to her connections with very little qualifications or the minimal qualifications. As is often the case in India, it's, you know, probably the case around the world, but nepotism and connections, connected networks, occult secret society networks, secret handshakes, clubs, etc., are the way in which you get ahead and get to the top positions in these international organizations that are now calling the shots and trying to lay the law down for everybody in the world. And now is the time period when they're all being exposed. So it's absolutely fabulous to see that this lady, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, has been put on the spot and shown up for her disinformation campaigns against ivermectin when scientifically it has been proven to be highly effective. So IBA has observed that the content of several web links to news article reports included in the notice served upon Dr. Soumya on May 25, 2021, which was visible before issuing the notice, has either been removed or deleted now. IBA had anticipated this, and therefore we have downloaded soft copies of these news articles before issuing the legal notice. It is ludicrous on part of the forces resorting to such cowardly acts, for they do not know that they are providing very strong evidence of their desperate attempt at blocking information and news regarding ivermectin. IBA said the credibility and integrity of WHO has been severely eroded and continues to wane with each passing day due to its miserable failure in handling the pandemic. So I think this is absolutely brilliant, and you can find the press release and legal notice linked at the COVID blog, and I'll post the link below as well over here. And I hope to report on this myself because I think it's absolutely earth-shaking and fabulous that Soumya Swaminathan is being shown up, and somebody else who's being shown up, who just happens to be of Indian origin, is Dr. Devi Sridhar. And the person showing her up brilliantly is Dr. Vernon Coleman. I just want to play a little bit of this.
As you know, the BBC is the most dishonest, disreputable, unreliable media outlet in the history of the world. It's ageist, sexist, bigoted, unpatriotic, and as bent as a paperclip. Over the last year, I've recorded a number of videos detailing their errors and distortions. One BBC presenter has even boasted that the BBC will not tell the truth about vaccines. They deliberately suppress those who do tell the truth about vaccines and vaccination, and they do this even when they know they are suppressing the truth. There's no secret about why the BBC is hiding the truth. The BBC has close links to the drug industry through its association with Bill Gates and therefore the crooked, corrupt vaccine makers. And it is, of course, desperate to keep its license fee by sucking up to the government. Now, it seems, deceiving adults is not enough. The BBC is now deliberately lying to children. On the 8th of June, the BBC ran an item headed Pfizer vaccine for children, your questions answered. The BBC put questions to someone called Professor Devi Shridhar, who is apparently chair of something called Global Public Health at the University of Edinburgh. They have to put the word global into it, don't they? Presumably to show their enthusiasm for Agenda 21. I'm surprised they haven't got the word sustainable in there too. Professor Shridhar, an American academic, says, quote, "The benefit of getting the vaccine is that you don't need to worry about COVID-19. It means you're likely not to not infect your parents, the people you live with, and your teachers." This wretched woman, Shridhar, who will surely burn in hell, claims that the vaccine is 100% safe for children. And she's really reassuring about the side effects. Quote, "Some children experience similar side effects to adults. These include fatigue, having a headache, feeling generally unwell, but these cleared within a day or two, and it seems a small price to pay for actually being protected from the real disease," close quotes. So let's take those three statements and analyze them. First, she says that if you have the vaccine, you won't be likely to infect your parents and the people you live with and your teachers. Where did she get this from? Who is her medical advisor? The Queen? Dolly Parton? Dermot O'Leary? Well, it's not what the NHS says in the UK. The NHS says, quote, "You might still get or spread COVID-19 even if you have a vaccine," close quotes. In other words, the vaccine doesn't stop you getting COVID or spreading it if you do get it. What it does do, allegedly, is reduce the symptoms you might get. That's hugely different. What an unbelievably arrogant and stupid woman Shridhar is to pontificate about something she knows nothing about and doesn't seem to understand. Second, Shridhar says this experimental vaccine, she doesn't call it experimental, but it is, which only has a temporary approval, let us not forget, is 100% safe for children. And that is a downright 100% solid gold lie. And for that lie alone, this bloody woman should be hung, drawn, quartered, boiled in oil and tarred and feathered. Shridhar is lying to children who are susceptible and vulnerable and terrified out of their wits by a year of unremitting propaganda and lies. So, what's the truth? The truth is that in America, the data for up to the 28th of May 2021 for 12 to 17 year olds shows that there have been 4,740 total adverse events, including 117 rated as serious and 4 reported deaths. 2 15-year-olds died, and a 16-year-old died, and a 17-year-old died. Those are the confirmed deaths. There are others not yet confirmed. And this grinning, ignorant Professor Devi Shridhar of the University of Edinburgh says it's safe. Well, you horrid woman, death is not safe. Death is final. It means it's all over. And this experimental vaccine is safe, like being run over by a bus is safe. No healthy children have died of this year's remarketed flu, COVID-19. Children get very few serious symptoms from COVID-19. But in the US, at least 4 children have already died of the experimental jab. 4 deaths, not just a little ape. Third, the stupid, stupid, stupid Shridhar woman, whose name should now be immortalized alongside Myra Hindley and Rose West, is reassuring about the side effects. Just a bit of tiredness and a headache. That's another absolute bloody lie. There were 635 reports of anaphylaxis among 12 to 17-year-olds, with 97% attributed to the Pfizer vaccine. And there were 40 reports of myocarditis and pericarditis due to the Pfizer jab, and 16 reports of blood clotting disorders. And what about pathogenic priming and the real risk of menstrual and fertility problems?
So I'll pause that there, and I'll post the link to Dr. Coleman's speech over here. Lies on the BBC calling out a Devi Sridhar, who, by the way, is not a doctor and has made, as he reports, incredibly irresponsible, reckless, endangering statements about there being no side effects to this vaccine, when she, who is a public health professional, she who is an academic, who works in a university, Edinburgh University, who teaches, all right? She teaches, and she's now become such a massive spokesperson. I'm in Boston, but she apparently, looking at the news, she's made a great splash. Oh, you know, all of this is obviously contrived. In the UK currently, she's in all the newspapers. She's on Channel 4. She's on the BBC. She's in a lot of TV programs, being consulted as sort of resident global health expert, public health expert on this quote-unquote pandemic, which is really not killing people, but which we hear a lot of lies about from everybody whom she's being interviewed by, such as the BBC. And this woman is making remarks now that children 12 and under should go out and get the vaccine, that parents should inoculate and vaccinate these children, when, as Dr. Coleman says, she is ignoring the data, the actual data, the indisputable, verifiable data, that there have been two verifiable deaths, there have been numerous cases in children of blood clotting, of heart inflammation, of so much else. How could she, as a public health official and an academic, not pull up the CDC website and see for herself what is being reported? How could she, with her education, not make the obvious connections? Now, you know, the CDC takes the party line that there is no connection between the reported adverse reactions and the vaccines. They take that line, and this is the big lie that they go on continuously, that causation is not connection, you know, that whatever, coincidence is not causation. Cannot be seen as causation, that once something happens, chronology, once one event succeeds another, it does not necessarily mean that the second event was caused by the first. Whereas the rest of us, simply looking at the timeline, can clearly see that there is a clear connection between the timing of taking the vaccine and the timing of all of these sudden, strange medical symptoms appearing in people, including death. So that's excellent that Dr. Coleman has shown up, both the BBC and this lady, Dr. Sridhar, Dr. Devi Sridhar. So Dr. Devi Sridhar and Dr. Soumya Swaminathan are two Indian origin, or Indian, literally, Dr. Soumya is from India, as I'm from India too. So these two ladies with an Indian education are literally posting disinformation. They are giving disinformation to the media. They are being showcased by mainstream media, which is showcasing their lies and their disinformation. And they are now, you know, the darlings of media worldwide. Although that is changing. That is absolutely changing. They are being exposed, and they're going to be exposed much, much more as time goes on. Because what they are doing is dangerous. They are endangering the lives of children. They're endangering the lives of adults by recommending a vaccine that is causing deaths and causing harm, when there are fabulous other treatments already available, including within the allopathic medical world. So, you know, their names are going to be known. And, you know, hats off to Dr. Coleman for speaking openly about what they are doing. So I'm going to share just a couple of things more, and then I'm going to close this news break for today. But here we go. Let me This is Dr. Devi Sridhar again. So we are moving on from her, and What I'd like to do, if I've got it rolled up, is I want to recommend that everybody go and watch the videos of Dr. Sucharith Bhakti if you have not heard of him as yet, because he is speaking out openly about the dangers of this vaccine. This is a very short video that's on my website. It's about clot formation, and it's exhorting parents not to give the vaccine to their children, to take every step needed to stop any kind of coercion or pressure to take the vaccine and to absolutely safeguard their children's lives. So let's play this.
My name is Sucharith Bhakti. I'm a physician and scientist. This magic bullet, the jab, is supposed to cause your immune system to explode into action and combat the virus. We have always had deep concern that this explosion would set off chain reactions leading to formation of blood clots in your vessels. Clots that no one can see, but they can feel. If the clots form in your brain, you have splitting headaches, nausea, vomiting, paralysis, so many things that so many people have been reporting. How to find out? You see, there's a lab determination, the D-dimers, that if they go up in your blood, it is proof that clot formation has taken place in your vessels. Now, a number of German doctors have been measuring the D-dimers in the blood of patients before vaccination and days after vaccination, irrespective of symptoms. And they have just found out that triggering of clot formation is a very common event with all vaccines, meaning that when you take this jab, you are allowing your body, you are triggering a reaction that is potentially lethal. Therefore, I strongly advise people not to get the shot. If you want to, as an adult, you may, but you must realize that you are undergoing a threat. Do not give the shot to children, because they are absolutely without any possibility of defending themselves. If you give that jab to your child, you are committing a crime.
So I think that's super powerful. And, you know, he spells it out. If you give that shot to your child, you are committing a crime. And he recommends you do not do so. So there's a few other things I wanted to share, but, you know, a lot of my links are in the Inner Sea of Eyes Sea of Lies article, so feel free to go down there and find them. There's Dr. Rainer Fulmich. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing over here and see if I can share the other page that I have. But while I look for that, okay, sorry, I have to maneuver here between pages, and okay, there's one more. I wanted to also recommend an article on Dr. Mercola's site, and I don't think I have it pulled up over here, or it might have crashed because I don't quite see it, but let me just mention briefly this article by Dr. which covers the work of various doctors, and that is it's just an article that's talking about what Dr. Rainer Fulmich and his team are doing. And they are, as people know, bringing lawsuits against governments. They have a lot of evidence, and so it's really interesting to see what they've got. And There's an article on Dr. McCullough's website currently. It's about the pushback against global tyranny, and he's got a documentary posted on there. I think it's titled Pushback, which is really something everyone should watch because it's talking about the great movements worldwide, which again have not been reported in mainstream media, and about rallies in 40 countries around the world on March 20th, I think, from many people speaking out against their governments and what they're doing. So that's something to watch, and I'll post the links to that, as well as this one, the Rhino Fuelmich article, where just like Dr. Mercola, he stresses the PCR tests are invalid, judging from all of the information we get from Dr. Kerry Mullis and from various other doctors who are now speaking out about the very high amplification cycles of the PCR test, the fact that they will find anything, etc. It's important to highlight this information, and if you are into media, producing your own media, I would suggest keep focusing on that PCR test, keep focusing on the fact that, you know, children are now being subjected to this PCR test, which is actually torturous, that nasal swab being pushed up children's noses is torture and should not be permitted. So parents need to speak out. Media need to speak out. If you're doing media of any kind, please focus on these things, because these horrors are still on the table and are continuing to be rolled out, as the article on my front page from Pandemic to Permanence suggests. And that's, you know, that's another article that I highly recommend everybody read. So he talks about how it's important to recognize that asymptomatic cases do not exist, and deliberate deception has been unleashed on people. This vaccine is being used primarily to roll out digital passports and biosecurity, which is really biosurveillance. So again, it's something really to keep in mind.
Millions of operations, cancer checks, medical rehabilitation, other medical measures would be postponed with unforeseeable health consequences for those affected. Thousands of terminally ill and dying people in Germany and other parts of the world would be forced to die in isolation and without the support of their loved ones. People all over Germany and in large parts of the world would be deprived of their freedom for days and weeks. The federal and state parliaments, with our elected representatives, would be de facto disempowered from the federal and state governments without any legitimization by the people, will have issued an unmanageable series of arbitrary regulations, the contents and limits of which no one understands.
So that's a really powerful speech as well, and I recommend people check it out. So I'm going to come back over here. I just wanted to share a variety of videos, news, information, pointing out the stark fact that media is pulling off massive deception. What they're calling fact-checking and information is actually disinformation. It is a politicized information that is prejudiced toward the pharmaceutical industry and privileges the pharmaceutical industry. It also privileges the agenda of the globalists and the eugenicists, who are indeed seeking to depopulate the world. But in addition to that, they're not just seeking to depopulate. And, you know, depopulation is truly genocide. So I think David Icke made a remark to this effect recently, and that is correct. I think we need to start using the term genocide. This is medical genocide, and it's using the cover of medical benevolence. and public health. So public health needs to be questioned and continually questioned today. So what's happening now is not just genocide, not just depopulation, not just removing large chunks of people through preying on their goodness of heart and their humanity by wanting to protect other people, you know, telling them lies, in other words, deceiving them wholesale. What is also happening is people are being moved toward this transhumanist world, this biodigital world, where there is a conversion of synthetic biology and human biology. And through that means, digital surveillance, biosurveillance can be rolled out on everybody. So everybody becomes a blip in the database and becomes connected to the Internet of Things, the Internet of Bio-Nano Things, the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Humans, and all of that is connected to the cerebral Internet, which brings the brain in. So a lot of people don't know any of this, and it's not obviously being spoken about in mainstream media. It's being rolled out little bit by bit by bit, but that is the agenda, and you can see it in, if you look at a variety of documents across the board, and, you know, I'll reserve my focus on some of these documents for another day. Again, if you wish to keep abreast of what's going on, sign on to Telegram. Now that I've been kicked off of Twitter, I'm not going to recommend Twitter to anybody, although I do think it's always been a great tool. But, you know, so many people have been kicked off of it. So who are you going to be hearing from? You're going to be hearing from a lot of the mainstream types. So I would suggest check out Telegram, check out Gab. That's where I'm working currently. I haven't quite built up as yet, but I'm kind of working there to start posting and start connecting with other media that's putting out good information. And sign in at BitChute, Brighteon, Odyssey, Brand New Tube, Rumble. These are the video platforms, and Live 528, where I am live streaming from today. These are the many video platforms today that are helping publish the truth and the real facts, and that are showcasing the work, the analysis, the commentary of doctors who can give us good, solid information about what really is happening. So on that note, thanks so much for watching. Do share this video around. It'll take me a little time to post all the links below, but I will do it as quickly as possible. And have a wonderful day and have a great weekend. And I'll try to do this again regularly. I think Friday mornings might work better than Thursday afternoons, but I think some of my guests may not be able to make it on Friday mornings, so I'll kind of switch based on people's availability between Thursday 3 p.m. and Friday 11 a.m. for Newswatch, and I'll post that week's Newswatch info on my website, theeverydayconcern.net. You'll see it on the top right-hand corner as soon as you go there. So if you'd like to keep checking into these news watches on a weekly basis, please go there to find out whether it's going to be on Thursday afternoon or Friday morning that week. So on that note, thanks, everyone. Have a great day. Speak to you later. Bye for now.